59% youth unemployment is astronomically high. I mean, I think back in 2011, it was around 31%, and I think we all thought at that stage it was a crisis. Now, I suppose the one thing I suppose I would like to clarify, and it's something we'd always be very clear about, that I suppose that 59% relates to young people in the labour force. So I suppose young people in education, whether they're in school, college, you know, young people in other forms of education, they aren't included. So really what we're talking about is probably primarily young people aged 18 to 24 who are actually, you know, available for work and in the workforce. But even at that, I mean, I know just even with that qualification, that is double what the previous crisis was 10 years ago. And it's totally, from our point of view, it's a horrendous situation for those young people involved. It's very bad for their families and our communities, and obviously for Ireland as a whole, because we would believe that young people will be the drivers of the recovery. They're the people with the ideas, the motivation, the energy, enthusiasm, in many cases, that are really going to help this country get back on its feet after a very difficult period. It's a very, very serious situation. Our hope, though, is that as things, you know, as the economy recovers and as our society reopens, that over the coming months, that many young people will return to work, particularly in areas which have been hard hit, you know, across the country, such as the hospitality sector, the tourism sector, the entertainment sector. There are sectors where many young people are employed and get their start in life. There's over 100,000 young people on the pandemic unemployment payment. We reckon there's about 3,000 of those in County Wexford. You know, we need to give those young people who don't go back to work, we need to give them options and supports and guidance in relation to, you know, getting back into employment.
You mentioned 2011 there, and I think a lot of people might have seen the recent episode of Reeling in the Years, and one of the most emotional parts of that was the, you know, the scenes of people at airports saying goodbye to their parents, flying off to Australia, America, Canada, wherever. In hard times gone by, we've seen people turn their futures to outside of Ireland through immigration. There is talks of this mini boom that we're hearing about when all this is over because of savings that people will have stored up. I guess a lot of those savings won't be in the accounts of young people though. So obviously we want people to stay here and we want them to, you know, remain in Ireland's future. But do you reckon that there will be a mass immigration when the aviation industry is back up and running?
Yeah, I mean, it's true to say that obviously in the previous crisis and you know, each almost in the history of Ireland over the last 200 years, immigration has been kind of that safety valve. That is, you know, at times of economic crisis, you know, and predominantly young people have left. And obviously just even over 10 years ago, you know, thousands of young people left Ireland because there were just no options for them in Ireland at the time. Now, obviously, from our point of view, you know, we would want our organization, we want every young person who wants to stay in Ireland to do so. But I suppose, in the past, because they didn't have any options, many young people did leave. I think in the short to medium term, it's really hard to say, because many of the jurisdictions, like say like Australia, UK, Canada, and we're not really clear if those areas are going to be open to Irish people or for that matter anybody else. We won't have that global marketplace for employment maybe that we had in previous crises. So I suppose that, I think, puts even greater onus on the government in the short to medium term to make sure that there are options for young people here at home and that people aren't forced to emigrate when, as you said, the world reopens after this pandemic. It's not good for the young people themselves, but also for society to leave young people unemployed for large periods of time. And we also know that the pandemic unemployment payment, which has been there and has been necessary and a good support, we know that won't last forever. And that kind of safety net that has been there, and I know, you know, it's just about covering costs for many young people. If that was reduced or gone away, well, then we'd even have, they would be in even more difficulty. So that's why it's really, really important that we see the government take action in the coming weeks and months and really get these very high levels of youth unemployment down as quickly as possible.
I'm glad you brought up the payment there as well, because another problem that a lot of young people will face when they do finally get back to work is the quality and the quantity of the pay that they'll receive. Because in the past year and a bit, that's really shown us how important it is for everybody to have enough money to live on if the job just disappears in the morning like it did for a lot of people back in last March. One of the answers to something like that could be a living wage that we hear a lot about, or even just a rise in the minimum wage. Can you see something like that being brought in, you know, soon, hopefully?
Yeah, we would be very supportive of the living wage, because I think we're told consistently by politicians and others that, you know, work is the best route out of poverty and financial difficulty. But I mean, I think about 40% of those on the minimum wage in Ireland are under 25. So obviously young people are very affected, and we welcome the increases in the minimum wage over the last number of years. But yeah, we definitely would like to see a movement towards the living wage, because I think it's much more sustainable. I think the minimum wage at the moment is €10.10 per hour. And I suppose if you were working 40 hours a week, you know, for a young person starting off, that would be at least, you know, reasonable and a good start. And after tax, I suppose they would be taking home a decent salary. But I suppose the problem for many young people is that, particularly those on the minimum wage, is that they weren't guaranteed 40 or 39 hours a week or 35 hours a week. In many cases, young people before the crisis were on, some people might call them zero-hour contracts. I think in Ireland they were referred to as if and when contracts. They were on contracts which really fluctuated from one week to the next. So one week they might be on 10 hours, next week they might be on 40 hours. So that was a huge problem before the current pandemic, where many young people were in those insecure contracts. And there is no way anybody can plan their life, let alone plan any future financial commitments where you have a salary that actually fluctuates from one week to the next. You know, in the past, many young people started off maybe on a low salary, but at least they knew exactly how much they were going to get each week. And it's certainly something we need to deal with. You know, if we dealt with that, and then we moved towards a living wage of 12.30 per hour, I think that would give people a bit more security and a little bit of extra money over and above their ordinary and everyday costs to live and to, you know, participate in society. You know, so I definitely would agree with you. We need to move towards not just going back to the old and the previous economy and set up. We need to have a new normal and to build back better, I suppose, to use that phrase.
On the flip side of things, given that young people are more tech savvy, are we seeing more of them working from home than other older age cohorts? And working from home can bring its own problems, as we know. How important is it for young people to have that definite break between working and, you know, enjoying your time off when you are at home?
Yeah, it's really a big change. Now, I probably before the pandemic, there would have been some maybe young people who might have worked in particular industries that might have been able to work, you know, exclusively or largely, you know, from home. But obviously during the pandemic, many young people are now working at home or living at work, as some other people have referred to it as. I think there's obviously benefits to individuals, of course, in terms of commuting times. And I know many, you know, young people have probably, you know, there may well be young people listening to this who are living maybe in Dublin and have been able to move back to Wexford because they can now work from home and, you know, aren't paying exorbitant rents maybe that they would be paying in Dublin. And so certainly there are benefits. And in terms of rural regeneration, again, where you have decent broadband, I know many young people have managed to, you know, move out of the larger urban centres and move across the country, and that can be a positive. There is an argument to say, though, that, you know, we do all lose out as employees from being in an office with colleagues, and I do acknowledge that. And I think there's also an argument that in particular younger workers may lose out because sometimes they don't get maybe the support they need, the mentoring they need from other colleagues. Particularly if you're starting out in a new job, you can get a manual to tell you what you need to do, but sometimes it's the person, you know, at the desk across from you or, you know, at the coffee break who will kind of give you kind of tips on what to do and kind of how to address certain issues. And also, because people argue in terms of promotion opportunities, sometimes it doesn't give you the opportunity to shine and be seen as somebody who's performing extremely well in the company colleagues. Now, I said NYCI hasn't studied those intimately, those particular issues, but there are, I suppose, definitely upsides to working from home. And I agree with people, we all do need to create boundaries around not allowing our work life to encroach on our other rest of our life. And that can be an issue if you're kind of online all the time, or if you're checking your phone every half an hour and you're getting emails at all hours of the night and day. I know there is work being done to kind of bring in legislation to give employees the right to switch off. But I suppose there is the bigger issue of the impact of working from home on employees in general, and particularly younger employees. Certainly the benefits, but also we do need to examine some of the downsides. And I mean, need to ask kind of a blended approach in future where people do work some of the time at home, but also then can engage with colleagues in a face-to-face environment if it's safe to do so in the future as well.
And listen, it's not all doom and gloom. To be fair, we have seen some creativity from a lot of young entrepreneurs, not only here in Wexford, but really all over the country, as evidenced really by the explosion of the amount of coffee vans and stuff like that that we're seeing around now. They're mostly set up and run by young people. So innovative ideas will always come from young people here in Ireland. And I guess it's just about finding out what kind of supports are available there for them. So if I have a brilliant business idea in the morning, who can I turn to for help?
Yeah, well, look, I agree with you. I mean, definitely to say it isn't all doom and gloom. And you're right, we've seen great examples of entrepreneurs, particularly young entrepreneurs, you know, taking the initiative in the crisis and, you know, coming up with new ideas and looking at new ways of dealing with the problems and not seeing the current crisis as a problem, but seeing it as just a challenge to be overcome. So certainly we would say that clearly. And also, I suppose I would say that's why we'd encourage employers to take on young workers, because they do tend to be, you know, I'm not saying exclusively, but they tend to be coming in with new ideas, fresh eyes. While we do have a growing older population, we do uniquely have a growing youth population, and a youth population that have been very instrumental in changing our society in the last decade, you know, in terms of politically and in terms of referendums. And I suppose a new culture, and many businesses depend on engaging with that young population to continue and to survive and to flourish in the years to come. And in many cases, they need young workers who are in touch with that culture to be able to renew their own businesses. So certainly we'd be encouraging employers to take on young people. But you're right as well, there might be young people out there who have ideas. And I suppose at a local level, there would be the local enterprise offices that would help young entrepreneurs. And I suppose there would be, you know, the Wexford, you know, local enterprise board would be a kind of the first port of call, I imagine, for many young people to start a business. And obviously they're all over the country as well. Obviously the other thing that has arisen, I suppose, is that sometimes young people find obstacles, and I suppose we would call on, you know, local authorities and others to not create obstacles for young entrepreneurs. Obviously people have to work within the law and they have to work within regulations, but in this current really difficult time, it is good that the government have taken measures, unprecedented measures, in relation to supporting businesses. And we think that should continue as we come out of this pandemic, to ensure that young entrepreneurs and young people trying to start a new business can flourish and in turn employ other people and create new opportunities and new models of business as well. I think you're right, it is important that we do support young people who have ideas and give them as much help as they can get to get started and get going.
And finally, James, plenty of great tips and advice there, but if people are looking for more advice from the council, where can they find it?
Yeah, well, I suppose we just encourage people to go to our website. It's www.youth.ie, and there's lots of information there in relation to what we do. I mean, I suppose I would say we're primarily advocating in relation to the issue of unemployment. I think there are lots of support around enterprise, you know, probably locally there in County Wexford and around the country for people who have enterprise ideas. There is also government websites for people who might be looking out for opportunities maybe to retrain or reskill. And I think that's findacourse.ie, or if they Google find a course, they'll come to a government website that will kind of signpost them to maybe various options and opportunities. There is support there, but the main thing is to ensure it's the right course for you, and it's what you know will help you to progress in your career. And we certainly encourage young people also who are unemployed to engage with their local Department of Social Protection Intrio office as well, because they can also provide guidance. Now, I know in the current environment it's a little bit more limited, because obviously a lot of those offices have limited opening hours because of COVID. But as we come out of this pandemic and come out of level 5, more of those services and offices will be open, and you'll be able to access them face to face. But obviously at the moment it's primarily probably by means of, you know, email or trying to contact them remotely. But hopefully they will reopen completely in due course, and people can go in and get advice and support.